this is Denise Lee Yan, and welcome to the Brand as Business Bites podcast. Brand is Business Bites podcast features great stuff for your brain to chew on, including insights and interviews with newsmakers, brand builders, and thought leaders. It's available on iTunes and on my website, DeniseLeeYan.com. Do you ever wonder how hot products get to be so popular? Here to share the secrets behind UGG, the brand of sheepskin boots that people from around the world love, is the company's founder, Brian Smith. Now, Brian hails from Australia, where he imported UGG when he moved to California. After 17 years of building an iconic product into a multi-million dollar business, Brian sold UGG to Deckers. And he's now a speaker, mentor, and coach, and the author of the new book, The Birth of a Brand, Launching Your Entrepreneurial Passion and Soul. Welcome, Brian. I'm so glad to be speaking with you today.
Hey, my pleasure, Denise. Thanks for having me.
Good. So, Brian, people might look at a brand like UGG and, you know, and see what a phenomenon has become and think that it kind of magically became a success. But your book recalls the blood, sweat, and tears that you and others put into the business for so many years to get it going. So which is it? Does a brand like UGG get built by magic or by hard work or by something else?
Well, I've never heard of magic working, and for me it was like hard work. It's quite interesting. When I first thought of bringing UGG boots in, it was like an aha where I got goosebumps. I'd come to America after being an accountant in Australia, and I hated accounting, so I was looking for a business to start myself, and I was looking for the next big trend to bring back to Australia. But what I found was I was reading a surf magazine with my buddy one day. We were off to surf Malibu, and I just got goosebumps when I stopped on this one photograph of a couple of pairs of legs up in front of a fireplace wearing sheepskin boots. And I thought, oh, my God, there's no sheepskin boots in America. And, you know, I thought at that time one in two Australians had some sort of sheepskin footwear. So I thought it would be like instant millionaire, you know, just bring them into America and everything would go. And so, you know, my buddy and I borrowed $500 to buy some samples, and he was going to be the salesman, and he came back after a month of traveling around Southern California with about 300 business cards of all the retailers he'd visited and not a single order. And they were telling him, you're crazy. Why are you selling sheepskin in California? You know, and so then I thought, oh, maybe, you know, even though I knew Australia climate's the same as California, I thought, well, maybe the mentality in New York's different. So I flew back there to a little tiny, the big trade show. I had a tiny little table at the corner because I was a last minute attendee. And, you know, I'd watch the eye movements from the buyers. They'd see the pumps from Taiwan on one side of me, and they'd skip me to the, you know, the espadrilles from Spain on the next table, and I may as well have had car parts or fish or something on the table because they didn't even get what I had was a footwear product. So it wasn't an easy road to get the UGG footwear introduced. And the break came when I was thinking, well, how come all my friends in California really think they're cool? And it struck me that all the surfers from California who'd been down to Australia had brought a bunch back to their buddies. So within the surf market, the product was well known. So that was like the genesis of getting started was, you know, it turned out that you know, when we went around to the surf shops, they go, oh, my God, Brian, you're going to be a millionaire. Those things are great. I've got a pair, you know. And so my buddy and I raised like $20,000 and sent 15 of it down to Australia and bought 500 pairs. And when we got them all in, we went back to these same surf shops and said, okay, how many do you want? And they, You know, one by one they're going, well, you know, we just sell surfboards and shorts and sandals. We couldn't sell those, but, you know, you're going to do really good. Why don't you go to the shoe stores, you know? And it turned out that after our first season, you know, we got the boots in around November and through to December, we sold 28 pairs. totaled exactly $1,000. And, you know, it was a disaster in one sense, but then, you know, in looking back, there's not a billion-dollar company today that did not start with $1,000, you know, including UGG. And so that gave me the sort of theme, you know, over the years I developed, which is in my book, which is you can't give birth to adults.
Right. So the the title of your book is The Birth of a Brand, and you use that metaphor of raising a child to explain the stages of building a business. So can you just kind of walk us through a quick summary of those steps?
Sure. Yeah, every business or movement or product or, you know, TV sitcom all started with conception. Somebody thought of it. And then the first action was taken to give birth. In my case, it was buying samples, was the birth of UGG. And then these businesses just lie there. It's the worst part of every business when you've got all these expectations, but the baby just lies there in the cradle and won't, you know, maybe gives a smile now and again. But there is no amount of urging or overfeeding can get this infant up to go to college. You know, it has to be an infant. And then it'll hit the toddling stage, and, you know, that's a cool part of business when, you know, customers are starting to get interested and, you know, the first shipments are really well received and they order more. And that leads into the youth where you've got a really good business going where you're consistent sales, consistent marketing, consistent shipping and production, and everything's working, you know. That's the best phase of every business. Mm-hmm. But if it's a really good product or service like UGG was, it'll hit the teenage years and all bets are off. It wants to be at every party and, you know, every retailer in the country wants it, you know. It's very dangerous because I almost lost control of UGG a few times in that teenage phase. But then the administrators come in and, you know, the rules start to get put in concrete and the business becomes mature, but it's the same for every single business or movement.
Well, and it really shows that there are, you know, high points and low points at each one of those stages along the way. Brian, I wanted to ask you about, you know, the building of the UGG brand, and specifically out of all of the advertising, marketing, and promotional activities that you engaged to promote UGG and to build that brand, which were some of the most effective for you?
Well, the general answer to that is using spokespeople, credible spokespeople. Now, that I'll give you a run of all of the different things I tried, right? First of all, I couldn't get into the surf market, even though they knew the product. I finally got feedback when I asked all these young kids, well, what do you think of UGGs? And they go, oh, have you seen those ads, man? They're so fake. Those UGGs are fake. Those models, they can't surf. And I realized I'd been, you know, having all these really expensive models on the beach that these kids did not relate to. Mm-hmm. So I eventually got a couple of young pro surfers, and sales went from like $30,000, which had been stuck on $30,000 for 3 years, then bam, it went to $400,000 just because I hit the right image. And then we got into, you know, snowboarding and skiing, and so we engaged a bunch of young pro snowboarders, and then, you know, nobody in Minneapolis has ever read Surfer magazine, so we had to figure out what do the kids do there, and so I figured it was, oh, it's ice hockey, you know, and so we ended up, you know, sponsoring a couple of pro hockey players and advertising to all the kids that way. But the biggest breakthrough came, you know, I was on a plane back from New York, and the girl sitting next to me was reading People magazine or, you know, Us magazine. And I was looking at all these photographs of the, you know, these celebrities walking around the streets, and the captions are listing all the products they're wearing. And I thought, how the hell do I get into that market? And a buddy of mine had, he'd been in LA for a long time. He said, well, why don't you try the stylists? And so I said, well, first of all, I said, what are stylists? And he explains that it's all the people who do the hair and the makeup and the wardrobe of all of the Hollywood stars. And so I found a mailing list, and I sent it out to about 400 stylists, and about 40 of them, you know, wrote back and said, hey, I'd love a pair of Ugg boots. So I sent them out, and it was only a matter of months before I'd be watching TV, you know, and I'd see some sitcom come on, and they're wearing, you know, some of the stars are wearing Ugg boots. And it over the course of a couple of years, it rolled into the movies, and, you know, Tom Cruise, and, you know, all of these big-name stars are wearing them in the movies. And so that began the cool trend where it was really cool to wear Ugg boots on the street. And eventually, you know, we were all over, you know, People Magazine and Us Magazine and Elle Magazine, and it was like the thing to wear.
Right.
So the answer is to really get a credible brand. Now if it's a electronic product or something like that, it's not nearly as important, because that the functionality then becomes the thing. But if you're involved in a product which is a fashion-driven product or a style-driven product, then the celebrity endorsements, I find, are the most guaranteed way to get, you know, the brand built.
Great. So let me ask you in closing, what is the one piece of advice that you would have for entrepreneurs if they want to see their brands become the kind of cultural phenomenon that UGG has become?
Hang in there. It might sound a little trite, but what you have to do is create the absolute best possible image you can, and then guard that image like it's precious gold. Because if you cheapen it in any way, try to accelerate, you know, getting into certain markets, you can't recover. You have to hold the image as high as possible and with as much quality as possible, and especially customer service. I think UGG survived so many disasters because my customer service was so over the top. All of my retailers were friends, you know. That's how dedicated I was to my image and the brand. And even when there were years where I had just, you know, sourcing problems and knockoffs, you know, my customers were totally, totally loyal to the brand and refused to buy the knockoffs.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one part of it. The other part of it is, over time, and this is why I answered the way I did, just hang in there. over time, you get to spend, you know, season after season, more advertising, and each advertising is measured in impressions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, every person that sees it is called an impression.
Mm-hmm.
And the more impressions you get, the more valuable the mark becomes. Now, you could take Nike's swoosh, and let's say some kid in Seattle invented the swoosh and had it for his skateboard product, and then was in business 3 years and then quit, right? Nobody would know what that swoosh is.
Mm-hmm.
It's the impressions that Nike spent millions, probably billions of dollars on, that creates the brand, and that brand has a culture.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's why I answered about hang in there. You know, after 20 years, you look back and go, my God, the thing's global. How on earth did that happen? And the only way it happens is, in fact, one of the quotes in my book is, the quickest way for a tadpole to become a frog is to live every day happily as a tadpole, you know? And what that means is as long as you're doing the right thing every day, trying to get better, a little bit better, it won't be long before you're looking back going, oh, my God, I turned into a frog and didn't even know it.
Well, that's a great way to end this conversation. Thanks so much for sharing your story with us, Brian. How can people learn more about you and your book and buy your book?
Sure. My website is Brian Smith Speaker. That's Brian SmithSpeaker.com. And my book's available on the website, but you can also get it on Amazon. And if you do go to my website, there's two ways to take advantage of my free stuff. One's a free chapter of the book, which is chapter one, which is the best one to get you hooked. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is I've sort of pointed out about 51 little business lessons that I learned that are in the book, and I've done a two-minute video on all of them, and I called it Brian's Boots on the Ground Business Tips for Friday. So you can sign up on my website for free to receive one of those video tips, and they're not about leadership or profitability or anything boring like that. They're just, you know, little fun vignettes about, you know, little business things that I've picked up over the years. So briansmithspeaker.com.
That sounds terrific, and what a great way to get to know you even better through those video clips. So thanks for sharing that. Thanks again for having this conversation, Brian. I thoroughly enjoyed your book, and I wish you the best, the continued success with the launch. Thanks a lot.
Thanks so much, Denise.
That's it for today. Thanks for listening to the Brand as Business Bites podcast. Be sure to subscribe to it on iTunes or through my website, DeniseLeeYon.com. And check out my new best-selling book, What Great Brands Do, the 7 brand building principles that separate the best from the rest. Go to whatgreatbrandsdo.com. And remember, good is the enemy of great. Greatness is a choice. Choose to be great.